girl, Lady J. And you brought up a really good question, and this is a really good comment, and something I have been thinking about all week. So earlier this year, maybe last year, when I started going to grad school, I had made a decision. I said, you know what? I don't want to beat my children anymore. Because there was a moment where the way I was raised, that when a child says something out of pocket or they spoke out of line, you just gave them a quick slap in their mouth, going about your business. I'm talking grown folks is having a conversation. Mind your business. Nobody asked you to interject your little four-year-old opinion. Mind your business. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there was a moment in my life when I was doing that. And then one day I went to like brush my son's hair or clean something off his face, and he flinched. And I was like, hold on for a second. Like something's going on. My baby should never be scared of me wiping his face. You know what I mean? So I had to kind of step back and reevaluate what was really going on for me, you know? And so I said, you know what? I don't want to hit my babies anymore. So now I've kind of go back and forth like, oh my God, you're six and you're just driving me crazy. And you know what I mean? But what I did realize in this is that I made a decision. I don't want to hit my babies anymore, but I don't know any other type of discipline other than hitting my babies. And that's real talk, because being raised by a single mom and being raised in an African-American community, that's what I know. You know, I know a kid get out of pocket, you beat them. You know what I mean? I do remember timeouts, and I do remember like standing in the corner and stuff. So I definitely implement that in my life. But now my son is six. And so timeout really, you know, standing in the corner, it kind of doesn't work. Maybe sometimes it works. It just depends on how he feels. You know, we take punishments away and we take TV away and, you know, all types of stuff. But sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So now I'm at a point now in my parenting that I have to step back and be like, well, now what do I do? What do you do when the little forms of discipline that you know doesn't work? You know, and as African-American, traditionally, we don't really know anything else. Like, it's not like we're raised with a whole repertoire of disciplinary tactics in our toolbox.
Plus, well, I would like to add, I think, and I'm being real general here. So you know how when we're having community conversation and we're speaking in-house and we'll talk about how other people raise their children, we have a tendency to think, well, their kids are out of line because they don't discipline them. And we could name off various scenarios where you've been somewhere and a child of another race, I'm not going to claim any particular one, is cutting up and you're looking at the parent like, seriously, that child is seriously out of pocket right now, out of line, wild, screaming, hollering, pulling your clothes down, yelling, cursing you out. And for us, those sort of things are just very, very unacceptable. You know, I've read a lot of articles this week where people have said, I actually read an article, it was talking about the difference between black and white parenting. It was some generalizations in there as well. But it was basically saying black people have a tendency to want our kids to be obedient and understand that there are rules that they have to follow, as where if you look at white parents, they have a tendency to allow their children to feel that the world belongs to them and they're free to explore. And that's why it's okay for them to explore. That's what the term is, explore. For us, it's just like, hell no. And so it's just one of those weird... But it ends up, yeah, it ends up being this thing that we're trying to do to protect our children, to keep them from ever being on the wrong side of the law or being in a moment of conflict with somebody who was not going to take anything in about them except their race. And so we want them to be okay. You know what I'm saying? We want them to be able to self-protect and make those kind of choices. And I thought about this. I was having a conversation with a friend and she was saying how, well, this one particular couple, they posted something on Facebook about how obedient children tend to grow up and be obedient adults and follow rules and take orders and don't question the world around them and all that sort of stuff. And I laughed when I saw that and I was like, this is their way of trying to justify having an unruly ass kid. And I think about Chris and I and how often people say to us, God, Eli is so well behaved. He's so well mannered. But it's not because we beat Eli into submission. That's just kind of who he is in the world. He takes us aback every now and again with things that he will say or do. We don't expect it. It's just who he's, yeah, it's just him. And so I think it's one of those things where you kind of have to, I mean, like I said before, I think we all, those of us that are parents and those of us that will become parents, you just kind of learn as you go along based on the child, because every child is different. And there's just not one answer that works for everybody. Like I was talking about with Chris and I, we weren't spanked a lot. Chris's brother, bro, Hammy, I'm talking about you, but you know, it's true. He was, there was a time period, my mother-in-law says she was spanking him every single day. Didn't make a difference. He wasn't changing his behavior. He was still going to be who he was, you know? So it, you just don't know. It's like trial and error. So spanking don't work. Talking don't work. Time out don't work. Yeah. It's just a day in, day out. What can I do that will actually make this situation work where my child is understanding? I'm trying to get them to understand this for their betterment. You know what I'm saying? I don't want them to get in a situation where they just make ill decisions, you know?
It's the exact same way. Like with my oldest son, you know, I came into the picture. He was already 6 months old. When I was, you know, when I had him by myself, I did dumb stuff with him. I tell her all the time, he was my test kid. I allowed him to go down the stairs head first. I know, I mean, it's all jokes aside. It was all the test stuff. And now I have a 3-year-old. I kind of learned, okay, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. And so as far as spanking my kids, I really look at my kids. I'm like, okay, was it that damn bad? Get out of the moment. Really look at what they did. They're being kids. Right. They're supposed to fuck up.
Right.
That's just what it is. So right. I tend to, and even Chanel, I've had to look at Chanel, baby, okay, calm down. I've had to do that. I'm like, okay, calm down. That's enough. He's good now.
Yeah, mommy had to go on timeout a couple times.
Yeah, mommy had to go on timeout for real. Okay, all right, walk away. But you, when you're raising your kids like that, and you realize that number one, they're going to take whatever you teach them, the beating, they're taking that with them to the next level. And I just don't want my kid to do that. I don't. My son is already a big kid.
I think black parents do want their kids to be over-obedient. And they use the rationale, well, it's a dangerous world. You know, you're raising a black kid. You have to make sure that they understand that, you know, there's an element out there that's out to keep them down, or is not actually out there to protect and serve them, a la Trayvon Martin. But I honestly do believe, and now we're talking about a cultural thing, I think black parents are overly obedient with their kids, and I don't think it really serves them. And I think, like, I think the article, the Kim that you sent, or that Carmen maybe sent about, or was that you, Leisha? Whoever. Somebody sent
an article.
That somebody sent about, like, you know, maybe black kids are expected to be overly obedient.
That's
and
me.
White kids are given too much freedom. But another anecdotal story that my mom participated in, and this is after she had raised her kids. She was at Fox Hills Mall, and this young kid strayed away from the shoe store where his mom was and was on the elevator, 4-year-old. And so she grabbed her and she was like, "Where's your mom?" And he pointed to where the mom is, and he took her to, my mom took the little boy to his mom. And the mom was like, "Where'd you go? You went out the store?" And slapped him. And my mom said the slap was so loud that she was like, that she walked out. And she said she went back in the store and she had to say something. She's like, "I understand why you slapped him, but the truth is, little kids stray away, and it was you who should have been slapped.
Right.
It was your job to make sure that they didn't walk away." And she was like, "And you were just a little too violent with the kid." And my mom will say it in a very nice way and not be like demeaning, but she, in that way.
How did the lady respond?
The lady was, it was a young mom. So, and my mom kind of has this like motherly thing. So I think she just took it as. But I have a brother who was there to tell, he was like, she went back and she said it. He was like, "Tash, she slapped this little kid so hard, like it echoed in all of Fox Hills Mall." Like to not even react to, like, "Yo, like, your reaction was
CPS
little."
Where was CPS at in that situation?
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, she was doing she it was to protect her child. Yeah. The child straight away was on the escalator. And my only way the child came back is because mom was like, "Yo, where's your parent?" And like took her back. So she did it out of a right place. But, you know, I just think, I don't know.
Well, I think, sorry. No, I was going to say one of the things that is important for me, at least in my assessment of this situation, not having kids, is that most of the evidence supporting spanking, period, is anecdotal evidence. So it's people's experiences and their stories. But when you look at actual science and studies, there isn't studies that support it. There isn't actual, like, you know, psychologists that support this as a method of discipline. And so for me, I'm like, not having kids, not being in the situation, that's persuasive to me. I know it's not, I'm not saying that it has to be persuasive to anybody, but I do think it's important that most people's support of this type of discipline is because of their own experience. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it comes from.
And I think it's like you said, we won't know until we have kids, because I don't have kids. Yeah. Because there are times where I'm like, no, I wouldn't. But then I look at some of the kids in my family, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, I would. Like, I would. Like, my mother was not a spanker. But when I think back to some of the stuff I did, I would have whipped my ass. Like, I would have, like, beat my ass. But you don't know, because every kid is different. I see kids in the same family where one... where one... we're on the mic.
Response.
I've seen kids in the same family. Kids in the same family where one child responds to the look and the other child will give the mom the look back. Like, I'm ready for round two. Let's keep going. You know? And so you do not know. But I think one of the problems is when we go to the point where we're breaking our kids down, and when you don't have the eye to see that you've broken your kid's spirit through the discipline. And I think you can pick up on, I'm not a parent, but I can pick up on a kid whose feelings was hurt and a kid whose spirit was broken, right?
Exactly.
And you have to be able to pick up on, my spirit was broken, or your feelings are hurt. Your feelings are hurt, they should be. You're going to get over it in 5 minutes. Sit down and think about it. But your spirit was broken meant I went too far. You know, and it doesn't always have to be physical, because...
you're an extra sensitive kid. And you didn't really do nothing to break their spirit, like, being sensitive.
But then you have the eyes for it, right? You realize I have an extra sensitive kid, you know. And... but you recognize that and you don't fall into it. I think it's probably going to be even stronger, Tash, when you're that father and you know that little Tash is just extra sensitive. So you're not going to give him a break on that. But we probably have all been. We've been out. I mean, we were recently out in the store and we saw this young girl, like, cussing her son out. Like, shut the fuck up. And I was like, really? Like, I wanted to get down with her. Like, I'm like, you know, like, let me talk to you that way, you know? And then you see the kid's spirit being broken, or they're just completely oblivious to the fact that what she's doing is demeaning till 5-10 years later.
When, and that's up completely in her face, verbal.
Talking to her the same way.
How come we don't stand up? How come we don't live in a community where we can stand up when you hear a young mom talking like that? And I don't have this power. My mom will do it. But my mom is a woman, and a woman can say it to a woman in a way that a man can't.
Because it's going to get turned up. Well, how come we don't live in a community
where we can't be like, yo, sister, like...
That's too much.
I know. I wish we could.
I appreciate that you are real firm on disciplining your kid, props, but I gotta pull you this out. You're a little out of pocket for cussing in public and calling him all. That's inappropriate.
Get your ass over here.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and maybe that will, because I've seen it, and I've seen it with my son, and I, you know, it's a mess. I think that maybe I will think to even try to do that. You know, I look at it like, oh, shit, y'all ass is crazy. Let me go this way.
Right.
You know, you just want to get away from it, whatever. But I don't think that's the right thing to do.
And it's,
I think,
funny.
We should at least, you know, say speak something. Up. Because, I mean, we don't have to come combatively. Right. It might get turned up. But you can walk away if it gets turned up. Because that's not, you didn't come in that, you came with love.
No,
so.
Carmen, she need her hands put on.
But then I end up feeling the same way when I see a parent with a child who's just unruly. Mm-hmm. And that child is disruptive to, like, I remember being in Target once. I was in Target one time, and there was a little boy who wanted, and it's what little kids do. He wanted something. Mom wasn't buying it. She put it back on the shelf, and he was just having the hissy fit of all hissy fits, and she was doing nothing about it. And everybody was just looking. And she just avoided everybody's eye contact, continued doing what she was doing. And he was just getting louder, progressively louder, progressively louder, progressively louder, and reaching for other stuff and just going nuts. And she did nothing.
I didn't tell you to ignore it.
Sinbad used to say, listen, you can't embarrass me when you're acting up. Go ahead and have your little fit.
I ignore my child all the time.
But I'm not going to be embarrassed by you having a little tantrum. And I'm not going to pay energy and make you think that it can work on me. And Sinbad said, like, if one of my kids, and I always remember, he's like, one of my kids have a tantrum, we gonna go about our business. You can stay on the side and have you a little attitude because we got stuff to do, and we'll see you at the car.
Yeah,
and you're right.
I get that, but I'm like, you're working on me. It may not be bothering you because it's your child, but it's bothering everybody else. Like, I feel like parents should have.
As a parent, you should understand that.
Like on the airplane,
they're not embarrassed. Like, it shouldn't be embarrassed.
I haven't had that experience on the airplane. My baby goes to sleep on the plane.
I had an experience on the airplane.
Where the kid cried the whole time?
My child was acting crazy on the airplane.
Okay.
From Chicago to Los Angeles, 4 hours, and there was nothing I could do. He doesn't act like he's not a crybaby.
Okay.
But on this, we were in Chicago for 8 days. It was just, he was off of his schedule. I was saying, oh, wow. Like, I couldn't believe how he was acting.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
The lady and everybody else was like, it's okay. You know, it just made me feel really bad. But the lady in front of me was shushing my baby. She didn't have any children. I heard her story because I was listening. Whatever. So it was clear. I had to check her because there's nothing I can do. Like, I'm trying to do everything. I'm walking up and down the aisle. Every time I sit down, he's like, we have an empty seat. Nothing was working. We have this small little seat on Southwest and that's it. So in that situation, everybody else that had children was understanding, but this woman in front of me. So her and I had to get into it because she was shushing my one-year-old child.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
I wouldn't shush the child, but I'd be looking at you.
Right. She shushed him, and I told my child to kick her seat. Because I was like, she was like, well, how mature is that? I said, and how mature are you? Because you're shushing a one-year-old.
Yeah.
You see, I'm trying to do everything I can. What can I do? I got the iPad, I got snacks, nothing was working. He was ready to get off that airplane. Mm. What can you do? Like, I understand. Like, you don't know until you're in that situation. True. But I wanted to say, Lady J, I feel like that you even having that thought is the first step. You will find a way to discipline your children because it's coming to your mind to think about what other options you have. So that I wanted to say, to me, I commend you for that because a lot of us don't do that, right? I mean, it's a day in and day out job. You'll figure it out. They're only 3 and 6. By 6 and 9, you'll have it down. And so I just wanted to say that.
Second nature. It's funny you say that about the store. I remember being in Walmart, and I was at the checkout stand with my mother-in-law, and this baby, like 4 hours over, was losing his mind in this freaking thing. He wanted to get out the cart, the little car seat thing, and his mom was like, no. But mom, I need to, no. Right? She was real firm, and she was real serious. She was like, no, we're on our way. We're leaving. And so I remember, and it just so happened, I was just going out, and I was really thinking about this lady, like, wow. Like, how embarrassing was it for her? Like, this baby was screaming at the top of his lungs. And so we walked out, and my mother-in-law was like, man, if that was my kid, woo-woo. We walked out, and she was coming behind me, and I told her, I said, you know what, Mom? Great job. I said, you did a really good job at setting boundaries with him. You was real firm. You told him that he's not getting out, that you're not getting stuff. You're going home, and you're taking a nap. I says, great job. You know, I says, I know it was difficult because everybody was looking at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think sometimes I've taken time out over the past couple of years to really congratulate and really encourage moms because that's really hard.
Yeah.
When you're having kids and they're cutting the food and all you're thinking is like, I just need to buy these groceries to get out the store. Like, why are we having a meltdown in aisle number 6? Like, I just came for some milk and some cereal.
It's great.
And that's it. Right? And like, you cutting up food with me. No, we can't have a car. No, we can't do all of this. No, we can't. Like, can we just get through the line? And it's been me. I've been that mom. You know what I mean? When I'm just like, come on, guys, please put the candy down. Come on. Stop kicking your brother. You know what I mean? Like, I've been that mom, so I get it. You know what I mean? But I think, you know, as parents, you know, having kids and as older, well, I'm not an older woman, but I'm, you know, I'm not 19 with a kid.
Right. Yeah. Right. Me,
you know,
an adult.
I'm not 19 with a kid. I'm older. I had my child.
I'm 29, but go
right,
ahead.
Right. You know what I mean? You know, being an older mom and being here and knowing the frustration, my kids drive me crazy now. So I can only imagine what it's like having a 19-year-old being 16 with a baby.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have the patience for that because you wasn't supposed to have the patience for a baby at that young. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I get it. So I think us as parents, us as women, we should be like, hey, mom, mm-hmm. like, you know, bring it down a notch. You know what I mean? Like, I know you're frustrated. Mm-hmm. I know you're upset, you know, and we should give that small, you'd be surprised how those small little nuggets of mm-hmm. golden information can really sink in, you know? Just say, like, hey, instead of yelling or screaming at him, why not try this?
Well, I can say, as someone who doesn't have kids, again, I keep giving the disclaimer because I feel bad because I keep like talking and I'm like, I know I don't have kids, but whatever. But I have been the bad kid in the grocery store before. I mean, I recall that from my childhood, and my mom would always tell me and my sister that she didn't understand what would happen at the grocery store, like why that would bring out some different beings in us. Like, she was like, I wouldn't know who you guys were. Like, it was like, as soon as we walked in the grocery store, me and my sister are fighting and we're screaming at each other and we're being bad, you know? So I've been that kid. And because of that, I go out of my way, like, to not look or, you know, kind of give that, like, because I know that, like, I used to be that kid. And I was in Trader Joe's once, and this always stuck out to me. There was this Asian woman and her daughter was, like, fussing at the mom. You know, not – she was a kid, like, a two or something, so she wasn't saying anything, but just, like, crying and screaming at the mom. And this – older black woman walked by and was like, hey, don't talk to your mom that way. And then she just kept walking. And the girl was like frozen. Like, she was like,
everybody's and I was like, black woman.
The little girl. She froze. Like, and the mom even was like, they were both so shocked. And I was like, so happy. Cause I was like, good. Like, people should, like, you know, feel comfortable to say something like that. And it was fine. It was kind of a lesson for me. Like, it's not the end of the world if someone says something to someone, you know?
I was going to say something like that. Like, our philosophy is, hey, you know what? If you see our kids fucking up, please get in their ass. Get in their ass. And a matter of fact, here, you have my number. Shoot me a text. Let me know what he has done. His teachers, our oldest son's teacher, they have our number. Yeah. We don't play the game. Right, exactly. I know what you do before I even come and pick you up. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to fuck you up in the car. You know what I mean? Verbally. Hey, look, keep it 100. Yeah. Look, keep it 100. The oldest son knows what an RNC is. Let's just leave that alone. Okay? You know what an RNC is, dog.
Right.
RNC, if you watch UFC, any kind of Ultimate Fighter, you know a rear naked choke. Yeah, he knows what an RNC is. So, but I mean, all that to be funny.
John McCain is on your side.
But all that to be funny, you know, we have to look at this and say, okay, parents, be able to accept another responsible parent saying, hey, think about it from, like, this perspective. Try this, try that. And now that I have two sons, I have no problem with that. Because I don't know a lot. Like I said, my oldest son is my test subject. I'm still working this shit out with him. And one day, will I get it? Probably not. But I'll be able to pass on some wisdom to him. Will I ever figure the whole process? No. It's never going to happen. I know that. My dad is 60-something years old. He still ain't figured this shit out either. So... it's just life, man. Yeah. Be able to take what everyone says, take the meat, throw out the bones. Take what you need, throw out the rest of the stuff, and keep it pushing.
And next time I'm in that situation, I won't hesitate to try to drop a little bit of assistance where I can.
Yeah.
I
think that's
or maybe not even try to, you know, what I've learned, because people are sensitive about their kids. So, right, they are, right? Oh, yeah. Because if I'm disciplining my kid, how dare you come in and interrupt? No, no, no. But what
but
I
if
do
you're
do,
not...
But what I do is I maybe try to get to de-escalate the kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I may not be able to de-escalate mom, but I may, you know, be like, hey, you know, hey, little guy, you want some candy? Or hey, you know, or have a conversation.
Is that how you de-escalate?
No. Like, you know, you de-escalate the kid.
Hey, little guy, you want some candy?
I already said no to candy.
Right.
You go over there offering
somebody candy. I can't take candy from strangers, lady.
But you know, you've been going to have a conversation with a child. You know, one thing I did hear, I heard this somewhere, that little kids, like little small kids, if you want to get them to stop fussing, just ask them a question. They can't cry and answer questions at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Right? So if I see a kid at the checkout, hey, what did you do today at school? Oh, that is a great color you have on. You know what I mean? Automatically, like, they were like, what? What was I doing? Oh, my favorite color is pink. Really? What do you have that's pink? And all of a sudden, now they're no longer thinking about crying or the candy or whatever. They're focused on what I have to say or the questions
the
that I ask.
Is so fake anyway. I mean, the crying is so fake.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Definitely. We were just.
The only way is so fake. Yeah.
because it ends up being their only way of communicating for so long that even when they get to the point where they do know how to communicate, they still fall back on that. To that because they know that's what's worked in the past. Yeah, and you got to get them out of the mode. Shoot. Yeah, I'm like, I wish I could just kick and scream and whine get when I wasn't getting what I want. Don't work.
Well, you know, Kanye West has taught us that that's how it works. He taught us you still have temper tantrums at how old is he?
That Negro.
Obviously, for him, temper tantrums work. So I'm just saying.
One thing I wanted to say about when we were talking about breaking the kids' spirits, the point that you made, Chanel, about your child fearing you, I was thinking about that because I grew up believing, and mind you, I have a mother who is not a violent person at all. I can only remember mommy actually giving me one real spanking. And it came with an extreme conversation beforehand. So I was very clear as to why this was happening, what I had done, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. No, I got to talk beforhand and then the talk spanked. But I still grew up and still to this day have a healthy fear of my mother in the sense that I care about what she thinks.
Right.
And I care about I care about what I do because I recognize that it is a reflection of her. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, that is still something that I live by in regards to how I choose to raise my son. I want him to understand that who he is in the world is a direct reflection of his father and me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He is his own person. He is his own entity, but the world will judge not only him, but us based on the decisions that it is that he makes.
Yeah.
And I want him, and I think he has at this point, he's a healthy fear. And by that, I mean, he's not intimidated by us. He knows he can talk to us about anything. But he knows that both Chris and I have a line. And it's a certain look or tone that he knows I probably need to not cross this. And he also knows mommy has a little bit of crazy in regard to how I deal with other people. Like he had that little situation at school and he didn't want to tell me. And I was like, why? He was like, because my mom didn't want you to hurt nobody. But it's like. He said that. He said that. I said, how come it happened? And it was like 2 weeks later. And I'm like, how come you didn't come home and tell me? Somebody had pushed him and said something crazy to him. And I was like, how come you didn't tell us? How come you didn't say anything to me? He was like, I didn't want you to hurt anybody.
Good job.
Like, I just told Papa. Papa came up there. I think because my dad is so big and like just
right
big. He just thinks once everybody sees Papa, they're going to leave him alone anyway. Yes. So that was that. But I think it's so important.
So your mom wasn't a spanker.
My mother was not a spanker.
Neither was mine.
I think it's because our parents, both Tori and I are only children. I think when your parent has a significant amount of time to spend with you, and of course, depending on where they are in life at that time, they are able to pour so much into you and give you so much attention that the need to spank is not really there. At least that's how it felt to me.
I needed to be spanked, but she didn't.
Okay.
But I was... I can count. The one time she did, I responded like, I hope you know you left a scar on me. But...
You a mess.
But I was not afraid of her. I was afraid of disappointing her and letting her down. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, so she laid down expectations of what I was supposed to be and who you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And she always connected when I did wrong to some kind of, you know, that's not good. Good people don't do that. When sometimes it should have just been a straight smackdown. So I was always afraid of just disappointing her and letting her down. But I didn't grow up with a spanker. She just wasn't.
And I think I felt the same way. It looks funny. When I got to be a teenager, my mom always lamented that she should have spanked me more. She's like, I should have gave you a few more spankings. Yeah. But we just... I was the same way. I was not trying to disappoint her. So there were certain decisions I made for my life. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to come up pregnant. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that because mommy would not be able to handle it. Yeah. And I just can't, I can't stand the idea of how upset she'll be. Right. If I make these choices, I have no idea how she's going to respond. And so that helped me stay, I guess, pretty much on the straight and narrow with certain things. I just kind of stay focused.
I was the same way. Growing up, my mom made it very clear. Number one, I don't want any grandkids. Number two, if you do something stupid, I better not find out about it. And if you do get caught, just know what's going to happen. And so, I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and say I was the same. The difference, a difference between like me and my cousin, I'm growing up, I'm going to say I am a very violent person. I'm still working on my own demons, but my mom was like, look, hey, let's work on this together. Let's do it together. But she always had a game plan for something to help me out. And I'm saying all this to say, you know, the rules were don't have kids, don't do the drugs. I still did the stupid stuff in school. But my biggest fear was not the cops. I give a fuck about the cops. That didn't bother me. It was going home to her afterwards is what scared me. I wasn't scared of my father in that aspect. My dad was crazy. He's crazy old Marine, whatever. So I knew what he was going to do, given. My mom was not sure. I wasn't quite sure what she was going to do. So it could go either way. So I had to really think about that. But I mean, but like I said, kids are kids. They're gonna mess up. They're supposed to mess up. Right. My sons are nowhere going to do something really stupid. I hope it's not too dumb to where they ruin their whole lives.
Right.
But as a father, as a parent, as anybody here, just be ready for the dumb stuff.
Yeah.
And just learn from it. Yeah, especially when you're raising little boys. Come on. Lord have mercy.
That's funny because our son has been in, our oldest son has had his trials and tribulation of first grade, right? Trying to figure out how to make friends and balance and be different than other people. And so his teacher called this week, right? So she emailed early in the week, and then I got the follow up phone call towards the end of the week, and I was like, oh, you're really cutting up a school. I had an email and a phone call. Mm-hmm. OMG, like really? So she, at the end of the phone call, she says, he is so worried about me calling you. Like I told him I was going to call you and he just burst out in tears. And he's kind of been like down all day because he knows that I'm calling you. You know, he was like, just whatever you do, just don't call my mom. Like I'll go to see the principal. Just don't call my mom. So I guess whatever I'm doing as a parent is working because he is definitely fearful of the phone call to mom, you know what I mean? So, and not saying that, you know, I want him to be scared of me as mom, but I want him to know that there are rules and there are expectations. And I tell him all the time, like you, cause he's bigger than, like he's a whole shoulder and head above like his first grade friends. I'm like, you are huge. You can't be, you know, tagging and fighting and stuff with them because it's going to come out different. It's going to come off different, you know, and kind of let him know ahead of time and let him know that I expect him to be a protector because he is so big. You know what I mean? So these are conversations we're beginning to have right now at six about body size and image and all types of stuff, which is crazy to think that I have to talk to my 6-year-old child about, you know, these things, but it comes with life, you know, it's a healthy fear. Again, I guess I think there's some level that you do need some level of healthy fear, like crazy fear, like knowing that your parent is crazy, like Kevin's dad is something different. Like you don't even know want to mess with nothing like that, but healthy fear is good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it lets you know that there's something out there that's bigger than you, I guess.
Well, I think we've said all that we need to say. Cousin Darius rolled in. Cousin Darius, we know you got churn. You got something you want to say? All right. Well, we thank you for tuning in. Please join us for the next episode of Black is Bright. Peace.
Love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you're thinking on Twitter at Black Is Online, on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, email us at kc@blackisonline.com, hit us up on the hotline at 323-455-4219, and check us out at www.blackisonline.com. Thanks for listening.